Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Paul.
It's lovely to see you.
To see you, nice.
Special welcome to Sasha. I believe it's your first time. And I believe it's Laura's, Jess's, and Catherine's second time. And Aoife. Okay. Lovely to see you all. Need to give a few notices out. There's a stamp box at the back of church. We do this every year. I never understand why, in the sense that, let me finish what I'm saying. I know why we do it, but I don't know why they're worth anything. So please bring in your old stamps. So when you get a Christmas card, bring the stamp, put it in the box there, and apparently it's worth some money. And we give it to Birmingham City Mission, which helps their great work across Birmingham. In the side aisle by the bookstore, there's also a selection of Christmas cards and Christmas tags. And there's also some stuff in the Robert Lloyd room if you'd like to buy it after this service. Yesterday we had a kind of a sale here, and we raised over £300 for charity.
£306.
Please note that on Monday and Tuesday this week, if you come to church, parking might be restricted because they're doing some work outside the church. Has anybody brought me a toy this morning? Okay. Well, Sue has. Thank you, Sue. If you've got any toys, can you put them by the altar, please? Thank you very much. So some of you won't be aware of this, so I'll let you know. But today is our toy service, and all the toys you bring in today will go to children across Birmingham who otherwise may not receive a Christmas present this year. Again, this is again with Birmingham City Mission. So thank you for your toys. Have I missed any notices?
Yes, but I'll give one in a minute.
Okay.
When you're finished.
Okay. So Alan's leading. I'll hand you over to Alan.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
I've one further notice. Well, slight adjustment to notice. The precise sum raised so far from yesterday is £306, but that amount could increase because there are still some items available next door if you wish to purchase them and increase the amount raised. Be greatly appreciated. I'm also asked to advise that there is a fair going on at the library today from 11:30, but no, you can't leave the service early to go. And that's going on until 4 o'clock this afternoon. So in case you've got nothing else on today and you just want to run across if it's raining, you can go to the library and spend more money. I'm sure they'd appreciate that as well. No other notices, so let's open with a prayer. Let's pray. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. This morning we worship the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with joy. Let us acknowledge that the Lord is God, and it is God that made us. We are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We give thanks to God and bless God's name. So this morning, let us worship the Lord our God together. Amen.
Amen.
And our welcoming prayer. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage, and love to welcome the new person into this place so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. Our opening worship song. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
pray for our young people and the leaders as they go out this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask that you will be with our young people and the leaders. Lord, may they have open ears and open hearts to hear from you. May the Holy Spirit inspire all that is shared, said, and done, so that people may know more of you this morning as Christ their King. Amen. Go and have a great time. We come to a time of confession, so let us quieten our hearts and our minds. Let us think back on the last week. And think through those things which we have done, which we should not have done. Perhaps those things which we realise we should have done as well, Lord. Sovereign God, we confess that although we willingly say that Jesus is King, we often fail to bow our knees before him. Instead, we put the relationships and material goods of this world before our love for him. In your mercy, hear our prayer of confession. Grant us the humility to bow before you, the ruler of all nations, so that we may be loyal servants in your kingdom. For through the crucified body and blood of your Son, Christ the King and Lord of Lords, we have been given a pardon from God. So let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, proclaiming Jesus as Lord of all. Amen. Now let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we say together, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. We will now have three worship songs together. Please feel free to stand or sit as you feel comfortable. Dancing in the aisles is also allowed.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and all gone before us, and all who will believe will see. sing the song of ages to the land.
Your name stands above the law, and the angels cry.
Be seated. I'm just going to leave those words there for a moment because I've got a feeling that for some people here, they struggle to look up and face Jesus. They perhaps think they're unworthy, so they keep their head bowed. But we're told here to lift our eyes, to adore him, to see Jesus face to face. And when we do, we will know we are forgiven. We will know that we are his children. And it talks about our glory and our prize. And this isn't a prize we win. It's a prize which is a gift from him who loves us. So if you're struggling at the moment, just dwell on those words. Think on them. And don't leave here today without speaking to someone about Jesus and how much he does love you. Amen. Amen. And we're now going to have our reading.
Our reading is from 1 Samuel, the chapters 9 and part of 10. Saul was away from home seeking the prophet Samuel's help in finding some lost donkeys, but God had told Samuel that he'd chosen Saul to be Israel's first king. Saul and Samuel went outside together. As they were going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." And the servant did so. "But you stay here a while, so that I may give you a message from God." Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found.' Samuel then summoned the people of Israel." Excuse me. "Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God, who saves you out of all your calamities and distress. And you have said, 'No, set a king over us.' So now present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and clans." When Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin clan by clan, and Matri's clan was chosen. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord said, "Yes, he has hidden himself among the baggage." They ran and brought him out, and as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people." Then the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Samuel explained to the people the regulations of the kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people, each to his own home. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, worship group, and thank you, Chris. This is Chris's first time with us, but not the last, Chris. Short prayer. Father God, I know and we know that all is meaningless unless you choose otherwise. And so, Father, I pray you anoint my words. Amen. So, suppose you had a decision to make and you were asked to choose the next King of England. Would you come up with a short list of eligible young men, maybe old men, and then would you draw lots to decide the final choice? Well, 3,000 years ago, the people of Israel decided they would like a king. God wasn't overly happy with this, but he went along with the idea. And he picked Saul. So he sends his prophet Samuel to Saul. Everybody else is sent out the room, and he anoints Saul to be the next king of Israel. He then gathers all the people of Israel together to pick the next king, and they draw lots. So the decision is taken out of men's hands, and they draw lots. It says in Proverbs, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. And what's amazing, isn't it? They draw lots, they pick the tribe of Benjamin, then they pick the clan of Machri, and then they pick Saul. And Saul is chosen by random choice, but not because God's in it, to be the next king of Israel. If you look in Scripture, throughout the Old, and to some degree the New, often they make decisions by the taking of lots. Loads of times. Just give you a few examples. In the book of Joshua, the division of the land, drawing lots. In Numbers, God instructs them to draw lots to determine his will. 1 Chronicles, to determine offices and functions. This practice was still commonplace at the time of Jesus. You know, Jesus had ascended to the throne, but left with 11 apostles, Judas having betrayed Jesus. Peter recognizes from Scripture that he should be replaced. He quotes Scripture, "May another take his place of leadership." And then they look at who's eligible. They find two men have been there for the duration of Jesus' ministry, Barnabas and Matthias. And then do you know what they do to choose who's going to be the 12th apostle, sit on one of the thrones of Israel? A massive responsibility. They draw lots. That's our apostles, drawing lots. It's the last recorded time in Scripture when they draw lots. Can anybody tell me why? I'm sure somebody knows the answer. What's a few days away? Pentecost. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I believe everything changes on that. We're in a different era. We do not need to draw lots. I do not believe it's necessary. I do not believe it's wise in making decisions today. Though our sentiment should be the same, shouldn't it? Those people in the Old Testament wanted God to decide. They wanted to be obedient to his will. And therefore they gave the choice over to him. And we should be the same, shouldn't we? Our view should be the same. What's your will, Lord? I want to fit into your will. So how do we make good decisions today? Here I have 5 points. Firstly, Scripture. As Christians, I want to encourage you to have a really, really high view of Scripture. And I need to say that today because there are Christians out there who do not share this view. But Jesus, who is the creator of all, the God of all, didn't he have a high view of Scripture? How often did he behave to fulfill Scripture, to submit to Scripture? On the cross, what did he say? He said, "I am thirsty" at one point. Why did he say it? To fulfill Scripture from the Old Testament. The Bibles you hold have the truth. The first verse, the last verse, and every verse in between. Which is why Paul is able to write to Timothy, All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-inspired. Just remember, just a story, it's a sad story, but I heard, and it's a vicar of all people, this vicar convinced himself that God had told him to leave his wife and go off with another man's wife. The consequences for the children were devastating, but it wasn't the will of God, was it? It was not the will of God. You don't need to pray about it. You just need to read your Bibles, which says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That should be our ultimate test. If it doesn't add up to Scripture, don't do it. And then we've got compelling spirit, the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit, haven't we? And as we pray, it can speak to us in such subtle ways. I believe the Spirit speaks to you more than you realise. Through a good thought, an impression, feelings. How often is a verse illuminated? A strong desire to do something. Dreams and visions, words, tongues. Never happened to me, I'd love this to happen to me, an angel to appear. Who knows? An audible voice. I've had as good as an audible voice about 8 times in my life when it's so clearly spoken into my mind. I can remember talking to a preacher some years ago. I was listening to him, he was preaching, and he said, as a child, he had a strong conviction from the Holy Spirit to speak to the boy next to him at school. And to tell the boy next to him about Jesus Christ. And he said, no, I can't do that. But then God convicted him again, and he said, no. And this cycle continued. And he never told the boy about Jesus Christ. And then he forgot all about it. But then some years later, he heard that this boy had very sadly taken his own life. And of course, as sad as that is, I bet that preacher never made that mistake again. If God convicts you to do something, to tell someone about Jesus Christ, don't bottle it. Tell them about Jesus Christ. It could be the last time they ever hear it. Another story, from North Korea. I'm sure most of you know, but North Korea is the worst place on earth to live as a Christian. Many are imprisoned, many are killed for believing in Jesus Christ, even children. So this couple, missionaries, are in North Korea, and they pull up at a petrol station, and she says to her husband, I've got a strong conviction that we need to give this man a Bible. There's a man standing on a soldier standing on the corner of the petrol station, and she feels convicted they need to give him a Bible. So she says to him, and like any good wife would do, you need to give him a Bible. Well, this particular husband has a degree of common sense, so he says, no, I'm not keen on dying today. So they drive up from the petrol station. As they drive away, the conviction in her gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So she said, you're going to have to go back. So in the end he said, well, if I die, I die. So he goes up to this soldier and gives him a Bible. The soldier breaks down in tears. He has prayed to God to know the truth. And he's been standing there for about 3 days. And now God has given him the truth, as I've already said, the truth which is all inspired by God. Before I finish, compelling spirit, my own experience, a regular experience I have, is if I've got a decision to make, I'll float them. I'll see how it feels, and often I'll get a real sense of peace about one of the options, and I think, yes, maybe this is what God wants me to do. In terms of a third point, we can ask our friends, can't we? Fellow saints, what's their view on this? I'm blessed, as you know, with Chris Turner, Reverend Chris Turner, who I can often turn to. And that's biblical. It says in Proverbs, the wise listen to advice. Again, Proverbs, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many counsels, advisors, they succeed. But it's important to get the right advice and not fall into the trap of asking everybody you know until you get the answer you want. Yeah? It reminds me of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. He's just become king of Israel. So he asks the old men, the wise old men, for some advice. People like you, John. And they, he doesn't like the advice. So what does he do? He asks his young friends for advice. Takes the advice of his young friends, and everything goes pear-shaped for the kingdom of Israel. Reminds me of it's a very silly, stupid example, but a decision I had to make some years ago. The light fitting I needed replacing in the house, and I happened to be on the phone to a wise old woman, my mother, and I hope she's not listening. And she said, I suggest you turn the electricity off first. And I remembered weighing this advice, and I'm like, well, I'm here, the light fitting is there, and I've got to walk all the way over there to turn the electricity off. So I thought, not worth the hassle. Anyway, I got a bit of a shock. I turned the electricity off, and then I replaced the light fitting. A fourth and a fifth test, we can look at the circumstances, but we shouldn't rely too heavily on circumstances. God can do amazing things regardless of circumstances. And then the fifth test is common sense. The late John Stott said this, God's promises of guidance were not given to save us the problem of thinking. Maybe I should have used a little common sense when changing that light fitting. But those are the five points. Aren't we blessed as Christians? Jesus did not ascend to heaven and leave us like sheep without a shepherd. Not at all. He sent his Holy Spirit. He's given us the word. He's given us each other. We are so blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to sing again.
An offering will be taken during this song.
Thank you, Lord, for all your gifts, all that you have done for us. Lord, we thank you for the token of this money that we give back to you, this and the money given through the bank. Lord, may it all be used to your glory and to your service in the community. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for our prayers. Father God, I lift up anybody here this morning who is weighing a decision. Father, I pray that they would get real conviction as to what you would have them do through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, and through their friends, Lord. And may they walk the path of your will and walk in the way of righteousness. Bless them, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those in our communities who do not know Jesus Christ, who live apart from you, who live in darkness. Father, we pray that in this season of Advent and Christmas, they would know and hear the word of God afresh. And on hearing it, Lord, we pray that they would receive it, repent, and believe in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we lament what's gone on in the Church of England, the fact that it's been overlooked and not dealt with. And we lament particularly those people who have suffered at the hands of John Smyte. Father, we pray for the victims, many doubtless living with trauma. Would they know your blessing, Father? Would you bring healing and wholeness to them, Lord? May they know that they are deeply loved by you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we lift up our young people and children, and I worry for them, Lord, in this age where there are so many sources of information and so many of them are half-truths and lies and wrong. Father, may they know the words. May they know Jesus Christ as the truth. We pray you bless them and we pray you protect them from the world, from Satan, from evil, lies and deceit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, I pray for anybody troubled, those names on the prayer board, anybody struggling here today, anybody we're thinking about right now, Lord, who's struggling. Father, I pray they would know your blessing, your presence, your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have communion now. Tony, would you mind helping as well, please? So we do have a non-gluten wafer, and we do have wine without alcohol in it, and all are welcome to receive if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as your children, to remember who you are, to remember that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world because you love each one of us so, so much, Lord. Thank you that Jesus would have come for just any one person in this church this morning, that is how significant each of us are to you. Thank you, Lord. And we praise you, Father, that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. And he said this, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So with this bread and this cup, we remember that our Lord offered up his life for us. And we pray, Lord, that you bless these gifts through the Holy Spirit, that the bread would become the body to us, the wine, the blood. We praise your holy name, Jesus Christ. We remember all that you have done for us. And so let us pray as we have been taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. So if anybody at home, the body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life.
Thank you.
Come to our final song of worship. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. Let us stand if we are able.
Thank you.
Closely with you in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may we look forward with hope to Advent through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great day, folks. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you next week, and join us for refreshments. And didn't Chris do well this morning?